We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS Friday version. It is week 9. I am Scott Jensted, joined as always by Andrew Laird. Andrew, before we jump into the slate, how's everything going?
It's good. How do you feel about the fact that the 49ers have the best player in football now with Richie James?
Quite a performance by Richie James. Yeah, that was... I won't get into too much of why the heck they played that game last night, considering the 49ers literally had no one. It sounds like Kendrick Bourne's COVID test is a false positive, but it doesn't matter because, Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams still had to sit because of the close tracing stuff. I don't know. I know why they forced that game last night as the standalone, but it sure seemed like a lot of teams get pushed back, and the 49ers were given no consideration there, although with their injuries, they probably weren't beating Green Bay anyway.
Yeah. You had the benefit of, like, not – like, had the – 49ers been healthy all season. Not even just the COVID stuff, but like if Kittle was still there and Garoppolo and Mostert, and I mean the list is literally goes on and on.
If that was like 6-2 and 5-2 and like for playoff seating, I would have been pretty pissed last night.
Yeah, but no.
I was very easily able to get over it. Green Bay -6 helped me get over it. So it was I couldn't believe that line was 6 with the Niners were starting. And the 34-17 looks better than it was, but McKinnon scored with 4 seconds left. And obviously it was a blowout the whole way. But
it was like yeah, 7.5
at the NFL point, certainly forced that game through.
Yeah. Wasn't it 7.5 at one point?
I think it was. It was 6.5, and then it got to 6 by kickoff, and I was like, this is just stupid. Like, yeah. I think it was the 49ers and Shanahan can get through stuff, and they beat the Rams when nobody thought they would. And I don't know. I think we're missing 8 starters, 9 starters, something like that on offense. So like I think it was like 13 or 14 total. At some point, it doesn't matter who the heck's coaching, and you're not getting through that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to say 8 sounds really light, but then you said on offense. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I think they had three light. I know they had zero people that touched the football in the championship game last year against Green Bay played last night.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible.
It was 7 injuries plus Matt Breida, who they traded in the offseason.
Yeah, that's nuts. I remember like when I was writing about it, it was like, oh, Richie James, how's he done this season? I'm like, oh, 0 targets.
He's returned kicks and nothing else. So yeah, he was did play well, but there was a lot of garbage time in there too. But let's jump into week nine. We have a really pretty good slate here. We got a lot of high scoring potential games. I was surprised as I went through this. I liked a lot more players than I thought I was going to. As we went through, I kind of kept going, I could see that. Especially in the passing game, I think there's a lot of good quarterback wide receiver stacks this week. We talked kind of off air about how last week, I nailed a lot of the wide receivers, but running backs just killed me. I didn't have any Dalvin Cook. I had Kareem Hunt instead, and that obviously did not pay off very well. But with Metcalf and Ayuk and Keenan Allen as my three main receivers, my team still worked out pretty well. But running back just was not good last week. Hopefully, we can get back on a better track there this week.
I find it funny that you're bearing the lead of the guy that you actually regret having, and you blaming it on Kareem Hunt.
I don't even remember who it was. Who was it? Terrible.
It was the present day Trent Richardson.
Oh, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. And it's funny, like it's probably more of a preseason podcast, but like mistakes you make. I think I every once in a while get in that spot, like, oh, I'm going to predict the breakout a week earlier. It's finally going to come. And I did that with Jonathan Taylor last week. I kind of liked the setup. I think I forget who they're playing now, but I mean, they ran for it with that. Naheem Hines scored twice. Jordan Wilkins scored once. So like they got three touchdowns from running backs, scored 41 points. So, I had that part of it right. But I had the Jonathan Taylor part so wrong. He got banged up a little bit too. He had a little bit of an ankle going on, but, just a bad pick. And I think that like forcing that, the breakouts now, or we're waiting for this now and trying to get a week early. It doesn't really make sense in DFS.
Yeah. I mean, if you said before the game, like if you saw the score and the rushing lines, like, you'd go all over Taylor. So I was joking you that a guy in my home league, so those of you who didn't listen to the preseason podcast, I have my home league is on DraftKings. We've given up on true season-long fantasy football. But he played Hines, and I was just like, I texted the group, and I'm like, what are you doing playing Hines? Like, why would you play Hines? And, obviously.
The two receiving touchdowns, apparently, was what he's looking for. Because, I mean, like, there was no reason to play Hines.
No, like, the results grossly outweighed the process on that one, but it worked. So he was just he beat me last week. So it's like tough.
Yeah, what are you gonna do at that point? What are you gonna do? And every once in a while, you do get that. I don't think that'll work over the course of the season. But yeah, in 1 week, that definitely happens. By the way, you mentioned that I like the DFS as your season long week, because season long NFL has not been very fun this year.
I can imagine. It's funny. People sporadically ask me like start sit questions, and I'm like looking at these two guys, and I'm like, I don't think this is like, how is this possible? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, because one guy's playing Sunday and one's Monday. So I just like, don't ever have them in the same conversation in my head.
Or you're like, that salary swap doesn't work very well. Like, what's the guy talking about?
Right. So you're asking me between an $8,000 running back and a $4,600 wide receiver. Why are we doing this?
I found myself as in season long right now is more of a slog than is a lot of fun at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I felt for years. So that's
So let's jump into the fun slate. We have four teams on bye this week, so we won't be talking about them. The Bengals, the Browns, the Rams, and the Eagles. We had the Packers and 49ers in that wonderful game last night. Of course, not on the slate. We had the big game Sunday night. Actually, a good game Sunday night. The Saints and the Bucks, which should be a lot of fun. That's off the slate. And then the big Monday night game. I think the total of the game is like 75 or something. We have the Patriots and the Jets.
It's going to be obviously the most watched Monday night football game of all time.
You could see like preseason, you're like, oh, we got the Patriots. That'll be fun. Maybe the Jets will be a little bit up and coming. We've got Boston versus New York and possibly the worst matchup of all time.
It's, I mean, I've
really, it really has no interest at all.
I've been writing the single game slate articles, and it just seems like every single one either has two teams from the NFC East or at least one. And I keep crapping all over how bad these teams are. But Monday night is about as bad as it can. I mean, we had earlier this season, we had Browns Bengals on a Thursday. That felt like it was going to be awful and turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Yeah.
We had Titans Jaguars, which ended up being okay. Yeah. I just don't see how that Monday night game is any way watchable or fun, even for DFS.
And by the way, since you won't say it, I will. If you do play those showdown games, definitely read Andrew's write-ups every week. There's the Thursday and the Monday night games. I've actually done really well in showdown this year. I mean, not really well, but cashing and doing well. And your write-ups are really good and kind of get into that, like, the third and fourth wide receivers and the second tight end, stuff you have to do in showdown. So I find that article, I think you write like 2,500 words or something on one game. It's impressive research, good stuff. So I would recommend anybody who does play those to jump. That's the first thing I read when I kind of break down my team.
Appreciate that, Scott.
Yeah, of course. So let's jump into the slate. We got some high totals. I mentioned we have six games that are over 50 on the Vegas over under. We got Broncos Falcons. You know, interesting game. Obviously, the Falcons give up a lot of points. They can score a little bit, although Calvin Ridley probably is not going to play. Seahawks Bills is kind of the big carnival game this week. 55 point spread. There we obviously got the Seahawks who score a ton and give up a ton. Crazy stats. Seattle's 88% on scoring touchdowns in the red zone. League average is 62%. So that's hopefully, we talked about season long. If you have Jason Myers in your season long league, that has not worked well. But I tell you what, them converting in the red zone is just a huge weapon.
And it's not like they have some huge running back who's like banging in all these touchdowns.
Or any running backs. Right. I mean, everybody's right. Hurt right now. I mean, Chris Carson's good when he plays. But yeah, it's just all Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. Panthers, Chiefs is 52.5. Raiders, Chargers, my kind of favorite game to get a little wild. It's 51.5. I really like that game, back and forth. Texans, Jaguars, 50.5, mostly because the Jaguars are freaking terrible. And Lions, Vikings is 52.5, but kind of up in the air because Matthew Stafford is questionable whether he's going to be back from the COVID list or not.
I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks in a row now that you have said that you like the Raiders game.
Yeah, I did. To be fair, last week I took it totally off once the weather kind of broke in Sunday night. I played almost nothing in that game. That once I saw the wind between Mayfield and Carr, I kind of took that one off. So, yeah, I would have liked that game last week in good weather, but the weather just killed that game.
Yeah, but that's not – I mean, you still – like – weather is the reason. It's not like it was any other reason.
Yeah, I know. So. I do. I like them to score a little bit. I like they can give up points, and it's always a really good combo. Yeah. So we do have a couple of low totals. We have the Giants and the Washington football team. I caught myself. Caught it. You mentioned the NFC East we've got here. That's a 43. And then the other NFC East team, we got the Cowboys playing the Steelers, which, you know, 6 weeks ago looked like a fantastic, fun game. Over under there is 42. But the Steelers implied total is 28. So this says a lot about the Cowboys right there. Last note on the Giants Redskins. Oh, God, I almost did it again. You jinxed me so badly. But to be fair, Rich Eisen did it last week on the morning football show, too. So I don't feel too bad. Daniel Jones, in his career as a starter, 3-0 against Washington, 1-16 against everybody else.
Wow. That is wild.
That is pretty good. So let's jump into running backs. We mentioned Dalvin Cook. He's my top play of the week. I think everybody's. I don't think we're breaking any news there. 8,200 on DraftKings, 9,300 on FanDuel. Just a monster game last week coming off the injury. 163 yards and 3 touchdowns. 63 yards receiving and a touchdown. This week, 4 touchdowns. Has scored in every game. They are a home favorite this week against the Lions. Lions have given up 8 rushing touchdowns and running backs on the year. Only one running back over 100 yards, but as Aaron Jones went crazy on them. He had 168 yards and 2 touchdowns. They gave up a lot of production to the Saints a few weeks ago. I think if you're playing cash this week, I think you just play Dalvin Cook and you kind of move on with the rest of your lineup after that.
Cook was definitely the first guy in my lineup just to see like what happens when you build around him. I hate to say that there are multiple running backs that I think are in play this week. And obviously they're all going to be cheaper than Cook because only McCaffrey's more expensive on DraftKings. I think you will, I'll put it this way. I think you will like your lineup better without Cook.
All right.
But I think you still play Cook.
Yeah. I kind of think that's how it is too. There's a lot of, more running backs than I normally have that I have bolded this week on my sheet and they're all under, I'm looking at scrolling here. They're all. A lot of them. I think they're all under 7,000.
Yes, they are.
7,000 or below. I was just looking to make sure. Before we do jump into a lot of interesting names in that range, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey, likely to play this week. I just don't know how much they're going to play him. I mean, the setup would be great at Kansas City. You would love, 8 dump-offs in the second half normally. I just think with Mike Davis there and kind of coming back, I don't think they fully ride him. I've been wrong on them riding McCaffrey before, but I'm not paying him at the price this week coming off the first week of injury.
Yeah, in cash games, I don't know how you do it. As of this Friday morning, he hasn't even been activated yet. I mean, I think all indications are that he's going to play. But
they're still saying hopeful, and they're not. Yeah. They're not. It's not like slam dunk. I can't fathom he gets 95% of the touches in that backfield this week. I mean, I've been wrong before in the Panthers, but he's still priced way up. I think is the key. Like if he was priced lower, I'd be like, oh, maybe I can figure out a way to talk myself into him. But at 8,500 on DraftKings, 9,500 on FanDuel, there's just no way I play him over Cook.
Yeah, I think the more interesting conversation is, do you play Davis if McCaffrey doesn't get activated?
Yeah, that's interesting too. I think he's going to play, but I think there's enough guys I like more, but yeah. He certainly works with the way that they run their offense in a game that should be trailing.
Yeah, I mean, just there's too much. Davis was not that Davis was like fantastic, and he's gotten progressively worse as the season goes on, but like he's done well enough where completely taking him out of the offense doesn't seem like a legitimate option. And
yeah, that's a good point right there. I just think that they have a weapon there, and there's no point for them not to sit C-Mac when they need to every once in a while during games, which they never did before.
Exactly. So yeah, I think, like I said, I think there are other guys you can play. Davis, I actually don't think is one of them. But everyone that you go down, like if you don't play Cook and the other guys, obviously are not going to be as good as Cook. That's why they're cheaper. So you really have to compare them with the better wide receivers or better quarterback that you can get. But I think the nobody that you're going to be considering, except maybe one or two guys, is like foolproof. Like they're just either the snap share is not big enough, or they don't get enough targets, or there's always something where they're like, it's a good, it's a great matchup for the price and all this stuff. But in the end of the day, like you still need actual fantasy points, and so I think that's why most people are just going to end up on Cook.
Before we do get to the 7,000 and below, which we mentioned we like a lot of guys, Derrick Henry, 7,900 on DraftKings, 8,900 on FanDuel. He scored in five straight games, eight rushing touchdowns in that stretch. He has four games out of seven over 110 yards. The only thing is they're playing Chicago. So Cherry's got a pretty good defense, tough matchup there, but it's a good game script. They're favored at home, so they should, the way that Tennessee plays, you want them leading in the second half if you play Henry. Only Ronald Jones has been over 100 yards on the Bears. What do you do with Henry? He's kind of like the in-between where he's like a little bit cheaper than Cook, but a good amount more expensive than probably the other guys we're going to like below him.
Yeah, I don't see any need to play him. Like, I think he makes for like a fine GPP play because I don't think that many people are going to be on him.
Right.
But the Bears defense is just one that like generally I don't need to go into if I don't have to. And Cook obviously gives us a much easier alternative. I mean, even some of the guys below have better matchups. And so, you know what you'll get from Henry, at least in terms of touches or generally now. I just don't think you need it this week.
Okay. So let's jump into those guys. The first one I want to bring up is Chase Edmonds, 6,800 on DraftKings. Kenyon Drake is not going to play. I know he's like not officially out, but he's not practicing. I don't think it's pretty certain he's not going to play. It's weird. You look at Edmonds and you see the talent right away. He doesn't have more than six rushes in any games, but he's at 6.1 yards per carry. I think he's like the perfect guy to play next to Kyler Murray, where you can't put that extra guy in the box. Or if you do, the guy's watching Kyler. Just have that threat of running, is what makes guys really good. What made Kenyon Drake good last year. Does have six plus targets in three of his last four. They're already starting to use him as a guy out of the backfield. The question is, will they ride him into the ground? Like, are they going to, they're going to have Benjamin or someone like that kind of take the Edmonds role and get some time there? It's going to be kind of an Edmonds bell cow thing. Nice game script. They're favored by, I think, 4.5 over the Dolphins. Miami hasn't allowed a 100-yard running back all year, so they've been pretty good on defense. But I assume everybody's going to flock to Edmonds this week. I think he's going to be pretty popular. Where do you fall on playing him this weekend?
I think you're right that a lot of people are going to go there, which I was listening to something earlier this week. I apologize because I have no recollection of where it came from. But the conversation was about Kareem Hunt. The conversation was basically that the expectation when Chubb got hurt was that Kareem Hunt would take on Chubb's role and keep his own.
Yep.
And basically he hasn't, like his previous role is gone. Like he's taken on Chubb's role actually with less volume. So like we didn't get like all of it. And that's my worry with Edmonds, that like if we're expecting Edmonds now to like take over Drake's role and keep his own, like if that happens, then yeah, 6,800 is great. You get, 15 to 20 carries plus the six or seven targets. Like, of course you take that. But I just have a fear that they just don't really want to run him that much. And if that's the case, then, if he's going to get 10 targets or 12 targets, then I guess it makes sense. But if he's still getting like under 10 carries, is 6,800 really that great?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key with him is, I think you're not going to get full load like that, but I do think you get the talent that comes with that. And you look at Kenyon Drake, Before he got hurt, he had 20 carries the week before, 18 the week before that. He had two other weeks where he had 18 and 20. So he's getting a lot of carries. And the Cardinals just run their offense so quickly. We've talked about that a bunch. That you just there's so much opportunity with the number of plays that they run. So the risk is that you do have Kyler with anything inside the 20. He's probably going to run it in. And it's not like guys that you're worried about inside the 5 quarterbacks running in like Josh Allen. Like Kyler inside the 20. Like he has a rushing touchdown almost every week but one. They're just such a weapon there of running the ball. He's just so quick around the goal line. But I think I like Edmonds a little more than you do. Just I think he's really, really good. I think he's a significant amount better than Kenyon Drake. Yeah. I think we're going to see big chunk runs from him. I don't think you're going to get like Derrick Henry type workload by any means. But I think the chunk plays, that kind of thing, I think he has a good chance to score from distance. And then the question for me is whether they do use him inside the 5. I don't know what they're going to do in there with the way they run their offense. If they bring someone else in to kind of not take that pounding at the goal line, I don't think they want to really run Edmonds in the ground. They priced him up. I mean, by up to 6,800. If he was like 5,800, I would we wouldn't even have this conversation. I would just play him and move on. But I think there are other guys in this range that I like almost as much. So I'm not quite in the let's just play Edmonds and move on category that I think some people are this week.
Well, that's how I felt, is that there are other guys that. So the one that jumped out at me, and if you can take yourself out of the disappointment of last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, like what makes Edmonds a much better play than James Conner?
I don't think he is a better play.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like Conner's the reason I wasn't looking at Edmonds. Like I think Edmonds is fine. I think a lot of people are going to go there. I think a lot of people are going to go there because they... So like the price is up, but he's still like, we think of him as like a cheaper guy. Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh no, like Edmonds, he's going to crush because like he's getting all these targets and we think of him as a $5,500 running back. So like, that's why we should play him. But like everything is working in Connor's favor this week.
So you mentioned that on DraftKings, just a note on FanDuel, Connor's 1500 more than Edmonds. So there you got a big difference there. So I think this is like a what site you're on kind of question right here, because Edmonds is 6,700 on FanDuel, which is sounds the same, but it's a lot more expensive just the way it works there. And Connor's 8,200 on FanDuel. But wow. I mean, Connor is like, it's funny because Edmonds is like one side, you've got the super talented chunk guy, but probably not the workload you want. And then Connor, like the workload's for sure. The matchup's awesome. They're playing the Cowboys, who just are bad everywhere. Strong Graham script. They're a 14-point favorite. He was quiet last week against Baltimore, but did score a touchdown. But, I mean, his touches the last 4 weeks. 18, 21, 25, 18. He's over 100 yards in 4 of his last 6. I mean, Dallas allowed Boston Scott to have 70 rushing yards last week. Antonio Gibson had, 130 yards before that. Kenyon Drake had that huge game. I mean, they're just giving up. They're giving up points and yards everywhere. I think Connor at 6,900 maybe doesn't have quite the ceiling that Edmonds has that you're looking for. But, I mean, I think the floor is significantly better. And I think the ceiling is good enough that I love Connor this week, too.
Okay, so Connor, I was actually not comparing Connor to Edmonds.
Okay.
Or if I did, it was quick because I was like, it's definitely Connor. I was comparing Connor to Cook.
Oh, you're playing Connor to Cook. Sorry. Yeah.
What do I get if I don't play Cook and I play Connor instead? Where does that bring me lineup wise or construction wise? Like, because now what is that?
1,300.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot. Like, there's a very big difference between a $5,000 wide receiver and a 6,300 or whatever,
For sure.
So.
I think that you get, the answer to that question, I think that Cook is the ceiling guy. I think he's the guy that, could have 150 yards and 3 touchdowns, had last week. I think Connor is, you're hoping for 110 yards, and if you get 2 touchdowns, like, that's kind of the end you're going to get.
Okay.
I just wonder, I wonder in the second half with Pittsburgh, the one thing that, if they're up, 28-3, like, do they just go Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland and kind of not ride Connor in that second half, where I think that... I think Detroit, if Stafford plays especially, I think they score enough to keep Cook in the game, if anything else. So I do think Cook's better. I think Cook's a better option. But the price difference, it gets really close. You get $1,300. Like you said, if you compare two wide receivers, it's probably the 2v2 is probably pretty good if you want to do that one.
Yeah. My next step was, how do I play both of them? And I'm anxiously waiting for your multiple $3,000 wide receivers to make that happen.
I have not as many as last week, but I do have some that I like. So
okay.
I
just need one. There. Unfortunately, I might need two. So let's
see. In GPP world, if we can jump into that for a second, we talked about Edmonds, we talked about Connor, we talked about Cook. I think everybody's going to gravitate those guys. So you know, and so if you're playing GPP, you're looking for maybe someone in the same range that you really like that is kind of comparable, that might get it done and in the same price range, but maybe overlooked. I think that guy this week is James Robinson. They're playing Houston. We've talked about Houston too much in terms of how much they give up rushing-wise. Derrick Henry had that huge game. Jamal Williams had 114 yards, total yards and a touchdown last week. 95% of their rush attempts go to Robinson. He's like the guy that has the Christian McCaffrey level of, you know, volume within the offense we saw last year. Obviously nowhere near the production or as good, but you know, you want a guy who's going to be used a lot. It's not a good game script. They are underdogs, but you know, he gets all the receptions too. He had five catches when they played them in the first game. He had four catches last week. He had 119 yards rushing and a touchdown in their last game against the Chargers. Like we said, Houston's been thrashed by running backs. I think Robinson's going to go significantly under-owned this week, considering the matchup, the price, and all that, just because of the guys around him.
Yeah, he is definitely in play to be the highest scoring running back on the slate.
For sure. I think so too.
So I don't think there's any reason to not play him. Let me rephrase that. I think the running backs around him are in better game situations where that's why you play them in cash games. And GPP, I think he makes a ton of sense.
I do too.
But, I mean, there's a chance they get blown out, like, early. I mean, that...
For sure.
They're playing an offense that can score a ton of points quickly.
Yep.
And although they've been mostly disappointing early on this season, I feel like we're constantly talking about how horrible Deshaun Watson is for three quarters, and then all of a sudden he's at 330 and three touchdowns. But
every game, it's crazy.
Right. But that's my only fear with Robinson, that, like, I mean, he's going to be on the field when they're down, but, like, if you're having to rely on, you know, nine carries for 16 yards and then 11 catches on 14 targets for 58, like, I'm not sure that's enough. But, I think he's a great play this week for tournaments.
Yeah, I think he's going to – I think if there was no Edmonds on this board, I think we'd be talking a lot more about James Robinson on, you know, podcasts and articles and stuff. I think that I think he's a really good play that I think is going to be like 5 to 7% more less owned than he probably should be.
Yeah, agreed.
Is there anybody else in this range? There's a lot of guys I want to talk about lower, but you know, I guess Ezekiel Elliott obviously has that hamstring tweak. He practiced today, apparently he's going to play, but like there's no way I'm playing him in this price, right? Like if he was in the 5,000s, maybe I'd take a shot on him, but at this price, he's 8,000 on FanDuel. There's no point in playing him, right?
No, I think you can comfortably skip down to a lot of people until you once again try to convince yourself that David Johnson's worth playing.
He's bolded, don't worry. last guy in the 6,000s that I want to talk about, Josh Jacobs in this game against the Chargers. Jacobs was weird last week. Like they had this game with the Browns where it was so windy that no one wanted to pass the ball. He had 31 carries. Yeah. He had 128 yards. Like that's what's that about? Just about 4 yards of carry. So it's not like he was super effective for those 128, but the volume's there. Only one target, but you know, he is not really a target guy anyway. And they didn't score, but they weren't throwing the ball anyway. The Chargers are allowing 4.6 yards per carry to running backs. You know, Philip Lindsay had a huge play against them last week. I think that Jacobs makes sense. He's 6,300. He's really cheap for the volume he gets. I think he's interesting in a Chargers-Raiders stack where you play something like Herbert with Keenan Allen or Mike Williams and you kind of come back with somebody. I think coming back with Jacobs is an interesting play. I think it's a game that is going to have a lot of points. I mentioned that earlier. I think it's going to be a game that's going to go over the number. I think Jacobs at 6,300 is a lot more playable this week than I thought he was last week.
Yeah, I mean, for how much you love the Raiders, I mean, just go Herbert, Keenan Allen.
Don't say Hunter Henry because I'm not doing that anymore.
No, because you have to play Mike Williams and then you play Waller on the way back with Jacobs.
You're going like that. Then you want like the 41-38 game.
Yeah.
It seems like every Chargers game in the fourth quarter is pretty much that.
Right.
Like,
it's the Raiders, just, man. They're going to play. They'll score 40.
They're up 30. You know, the Raiders are in line for five straight touchdowns. So it's perfect.
Right.
Four games in a row, they've lost a 16-point lead. Like, that's impossible. Like, there's no way that's a true stat, but it is. One of those games that came back and won against Jacksonville, but they, it's incredible. It's almost to the point, like in the fourth quarter, you can kind of feel them thinking, oh my God, how are we going to lose this game now? And it's just, it happens every time. It's wild.
Must be watching a lot of Falcons tape. I think you can make a pretty decent lineup of Josh Jacobs and James Robinson and have nobody look that way.
Yeah, I think it's intriguing too. Jumping below 6,000. You mentioned David Johnson in that game with James Robinson. We talked about he's at Jacksonville, 5,600 on DraftKings. He was good in the first game against Jacksonville. He had 96 yards rushing. His touches the last 3 weeks, and we talk about James Conner, Johnson's kind of in the same range, 19, 21, 18. he's so boring. There's no explosion here, but like he's going to get the red zone carries. If they're going to score, he's got a good chance to score if they don't throw it. Great matchup, great game flow. I just hate myself for clicking the David Johnson button, but I can't argue against it this week.
No.
You sound like you're about to.
No, I just the problem that I have with Johnson, and it's weird to think this way in terms of cash games because you always think about floor, and like Johnson obviously has a great floor, but the ceiling is so limited. Like,
so
if you try to, like, anyone that you get, it's like you're thinking about like what are the realistic number of fantasy points I'm going to get, and obviously touchdowns just make it. That's how you get to the ceiling. That doesn't mean you like avoid guys who only hit their ceiling, but like generally you want like consistent players that also have upside. And Johnson just doesn't seem to have any upside. Like,
he's got to score twice to really to be huge, right? Like he's not going to get 160 yards. He's not going to get. He's not going to have an 80 yard touchdown. You just like you have to get two short, which is very possible in this game that he gets two short touchdowns. But like it's just so hard to count on that.
Right. Right. Like he's not breaking off any long plays, like significantly long plays.
Right.
And so you're just hoping that he ends up getting enough touches for his like at best 4 yards per carry. And then he gets enough targets in space where he gets, you know, a 20 yard catch instead of a 6 yard catch. But yeah, he needs to like get in the end zone multiple times. And just the way that offense works is just not built to do that for him. And so especially with Watson available near their goal line.
Yep.
Like I think you can bold him every week because like he's got a safe floor. The reason he's cheap is because he never reaches his ceiling. Like right. You need a ceiling game in order to get expensive and he just doesn't get it. So I think there are cheap running backs in this price range who may not have the same floor, but if the floor is 3 points lower, the ceilings are like 20 points higher. And yep. So if you're going to do that, like, yes, you want the safer points usually in cash games, but if the ceiling just isn't there, which I'm now this is like guaranteeing he's going to score 3 touchdowns this week.
No doubt.
But I just think that there, I found at least 2 that I were much more interested. I mean, David Johnson just doesn't even come into the process for me. So like maybe I mistakenly just went by him, but I think there are other guys in this range that have higher ceilings that you're better off targeting.
So is that guy for you, David Montgomery? Or is that guy for you, Antonio Gibson?
It's definitely Antonio Gibson. And there's an even cheaper guy that I like that I would probably play over David Johnson too.
Gibson's interesting. He had 128 yards against Dallas. Another nice game trip. They actually, believe it or not, Washington's favorite against the Giants. We don't say that very often about the football team.
Yeah.
The Giants held him pretty well 2 games ago. They played in week 6. He had 30 yards rushing and 35 yards receiving. Only one running back's been over 85 yards on the Giants. Benny Snell, that was week 1, 113 yards. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? That Benny Snell had 113 yards. But I think we may have seen that shift to using Gibson more in the last game. 20 carries was a pretty good indication. And he's a guy that is explosive. I mean, if he's going to get that many touches, you just have the chance of getting those big plays. So I prefer Gibson to Johnson this week myself. Also, David Montgomery, I want to talk about real quick. He's 5,700 this game against Tennessee. He's another guy. He's not quite James Robinson, but like the role in the backfield right now is huge for Montgomery. Tariq Cohen got hurt. Like they pretty much, we talked earlier about Kareem Hunt not doing both. Like David Montgomery's been doing both. He has 18 plus touches the last 4 weeks. Only one TD in that stretch, but you look at last week. I mean, the Saints D is good. He had 21 carries for 89 yards, 2 catches for 16 yards. He has 23 targets the last 4 weeks. So they've been using him in that role. Really helps in the game script in this game. If they do get behind Tennessee, I think he just stays on the field. Tennessee gave up 2 rushing touchdowns last week. One of them was Samaje Perine, which should count for like 3 touchdowns because that's just so terrible. Dalvin Cook went nuts on them in week 3. I think Montgomery's at the point where he's just getting so many touches, so involved. I think he's kind of like David Johnson, like not very interesting, not explosive, but you know, so many touches that maybe the floor is there with him now.
Yeah. The only problem is that he stinks.
That's why I compared him to David Johnson.
Yeah. So,
I think David Johnson is actually not good. I agree with you. He's not very good.
I think David Johnson might actually be good. He's just kind of broken, like old and broken.
Yeah.
Like,
that's fair.
The number of times I've played Montgomery because all the boxes you look to check for like a cash lineup, he just checks all of them. And then, yeah, it's like 17 for 63 and 2 for 9. And you're just like, this guy got 99% of the running of the snaps and all the everything. And you're just like, I don't, it's just like a weird offense that I don't necessarily want to jump into, especially when
weird.
Gibson's right.
Weird, also known as really bad offense.
Yeah. I just trying to be a little nice after saying he stinks. But I think Gibson is just much more exciting.
It's definitely. Exciting,
yeah, sure. Coming off the bye, like I think there's every reason to think that he should be good.
So I've got three guys under 5,000, but you mentioned that you have some players down here you like more than Montgomery or Johnson. We talked about him. Who are you looking at under here in the cheap range at running back?
The first one is so this is where it starts to get like they don't have like a dominant share of the touches or the opportunities at least, and so like they're probably too risky for cash games, but you know, you're under 5,000, so you get that. But the one that just like exploded to me is a guy we've talked about multiple times is Justin Jackson. Like yep. He, you know, home against the Raiders. He continues to like lose opportunities to Joshua Kelly and what's the other guy's name? Pope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pope. I forgot. Yeah, Pope what his first had a name touchdown. Is. Pope had the short touchdown last week, which is kind of annoying because yeah. I had Jackson in some leagues.
Right. But like Jackson, it's just weird because he's obviously so much better than those guys. And yet, you know, like he did have 17 carries last week, which is nice. 17 targets, excuse me, in the last three games. So like at 4,900 on DraftKings, that's where you're like, you're going to have to, for cash games, at least, like if you want to get like Cook and Connor, you're going to have to play like a much cheaper running, a third running back, which is why like Gibson, if Gibson's too expensive, then you can go down to somebody like Jackson. Are you going to try to convince me that one of the Baltimore guys makes sense?
I'm about to.
Okay. Because I assume that was another one.
Same price as Jackson. J.K. Dobbins is 4,900. Obviously, this only even comes into play as long as Mark Ingram doesn't play. I don't think he's going to play, but he's not fully ruled out yet.
Yeah.
I think J.K. Dobbins is a top, let's go top like seven talent running back right now in the NFL. I think he is so good. There's a reason I liked him early in the season. We talked about him week zero. And we did kind of just talking in general. I just think he's so good and fit perfectly with Lamar, but they haven't used him. I mean, they have Gus Edwards. Yeah. They have Mark Ingram. It's been the usage, but last week they took the reins off a little bit, 15 carries, 113 yards. He has the highest missed tackle percentage in the entire NFL of guys that have a certain number of 50 carries, I think it is. 20% of J.K. Dobbins' runs go for 10-plus yards. 20%. That's every five plays you're getting a chunk play from J.K. Dobbins. And I understand that the way they've used him before, like he comes in the right time or maybe he comes in on third down. It's like a draw that kind of catches teams by surprise. But like he's just perfectly fit with Lamar Jackson to run this offense. He's elusive.
Sounds like David Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. He played 54 snaps last week, so like that's the big number that you want to see. Gus Edwards had a bunch of carries too, but I think he becomes very playable as long as it's a two running back situation. I mean, you don't have quite the floor because he can get, depends how the game script goes. And this is a weird game where Indy's defense is pretty good. They've allowed 3.3 yards per carry. Like if it was almost anybody other defense, I'd be at J.K. Dobbins in 2 seconds at 4,900, but I think he's so good. My concern is that Gus Edwards does steal the goal line. I think that's pretty set that if they're inside the five, it's going to be Edwards over Dobbins. But I think it's a GPP play, 4,900. I think Dobbins has as much upside as almost anybody under 7,000. Like, he doesn't have the Cook upside, but it's not that far. I mean, he could break a couple of big runs. I just think he's really, really, really good. And I think it's the last time you're going to see him under 5,000 for, like, 5 years. I just think he's that.
Yeah, no, I think, reading Jerry's hidden stat line this week, like everything lined up for like a huge Dobbins game, and that Edwards like poach touchdown is just so annoying. Like,
it is.
Dobbins played 11 of 16 red zone snaps. Uh-huh. Both of them were on the field for Edwards' touchdown, which is like super annoying. Like, Edwards lined up as the fullback and they gave it to him. But they said like Dobbins played 12 of 15 third down snaps, including 10 of 12 on third and long. Like, Edwards is really annoying. Like, that's why. Like, so.
Yeah, it's just, I just think in this offense, I think this spread is crazy. I think Baltimore's favored by 1.5 right now. I love Baltimore. If you happen to be a betting person, this is like my favorite game of the season so far.
Wow.
I think Baltimore coming off the high profile loss against the Steelers, but then you take one step further, you look at that game, they dominated that game across the board. Like, Pittsburgh should, I, I, I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's been weirdly like underrated this year. They were 4-point underdogs last week. They're 6-1 against the spread. I mean, they've never given the fully respect, but last week, I mean, I get 4 turnovers. Lamar had threw the pick six early. I think Baltimore's going to win this game. I think they're going to win this game by a touchdown or more. I think this game lines up so well for Dobbins that I'm definitely him over Justin Jackson this week. I'm him over Antonio Gibson, David Johnson, David Montgomery range. I can't take him over the 6,000 guys we talked about if we're going straight up, but at the price, I don't know. I'm willing to take the risk that they use him how they're supposed to. I think John Harbaugh is smart. I think he saw what everybody else saw last week and has seen so far this year. I don't know. I think at the price, I think the talent is just too significantly good.
I love it. Yeah.
Last guy in this range, this only comes if someone doesn't play. If Ezekiel Elliott does not play, he practiced today. It sounds like he's going to. So this kind of is probably not going to happen. But I want to cover this because last week or 2 weeks ago, we had the Joe Mixon thing. We had someone else didn't play late. But if Tony Pollard sits in for Zeke this week at 4,000, I know the matchup is brutal against Pittsburgh. But do you take that price and the potential volume in a game that Tony Pollard's a talented guy? Obviously the offense is just horrendous right now. It might be Cooper Rush starting or someone like that. Do you consider Pollard at 4,000 if Zeke does not play?
I mean, you have to think about it, right?
You
like, do. Yeah, I think that's, yes, you absolutely have to consider that.
Because you could go something like Pollard with Dobbins or Jackson, and then you suddenly get a really interesting lineup that kind of goes along the Gio Bernard, Jamal Williams build we had a couple weeks ago that was huge. I don't think this is quite that level of sureness and volume, but I think Pollard's good. I think if Zeke doesn't play, I think you have, like you said, you have to consider him. I think there's enough guys low that I probably just move to Dobbins or Jackson, but you got to think about it at 4,000.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to think about it. Speaking of $4,000 running backs, do you consider Jordan Howard at all if Breida doesn't play because Gaskin's out?
So take your the kind of the guy that you don't like in the NFL that always screws you in leagues and then multiply by 7. And that's how I feel about Jordan Howard in general. I think Jordan Howard sucks.
Okay.
But nobody else there is playing. Gaskin's out. Matt Breida's not going to play. You've got Patrick Laird, but I think it's pretty clear that he's like a pass catching guy in the backfield. You could totally see a way that Jordan Howard gets a lot of carries here. I can't do it. I just don't think he has anywhere near, like I play Dobbins and Jackson so easily over him and find the $900, but you know, there's definitely a chance he could have 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like that works out if they get in the goal line twice. I don't know what to expect this offense right now with Tua playing. I don't know what we're going to get. I mean, last week is weird. They jumped out on the Rams early because the defensive touchdown and the special teams, and we didn't really see what he had. He had that one drive that looked pretty good, but they had the turnovers. But I don't know. I just can't stand Jordan Howard, to be honest.
If you told me that Jordan Howard had 60 yards and 2 touchdowns, I would guess he had 38 carries.
That's fair. Or just like 3 carries and they were on the goal line. But you know he's not going to have the 58 yarder, so he can't. That doesn't work.
Right.
But you're right. I just okay. I think the ceiling, you have to bring him up and he could score twice. There's no doubt with the way they use him in the goal line, you know, before he wasn't even active the last few weeks. Like, right. They obviously don't, if they liked him at all, he'd be more active, but they have nobody there. I'm not playing it, but you know, I see the path to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's jump into the pass game. But first a note from our sponsor, PropSwap. Smart sports bettors, say that 3 times fast, always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for that with a price you think is fair, then buy it. PropSwap sellers are always willing to negotiate, and we all know bookies never will. And for a limited time, our listeners get up to $500 in bonus cash. To use the promo, just use the promo code ROTO500. That's promo code ROTO500. And PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. So, Andrew, we said earlier that, you know, there's a lot of pass games here that we can like. I think we covered we spent a lot of time on running backs. So I think it's a little more difficult this week to find the right guys. But it's weird. We get to the point at quarterback where he's got these, like, top 4 or 5 guys that produce every single week. We've got Patrick Mahomes, who went crazy last week against your Jets. We got Kyler Murray. We have Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, those 4 guys. I think you probably throw Josh Allen this week in that group just because they play Seattle, and Seattle's so bad against everything defensive-wise. But they range in price. Mahomes is 8,100 on DraftKings. Murray 78, Wilson 76, Deshaun Watson 71. where are you going if you're playing someone kind of in the, this top end?
It's weird because the it feels like the top end doesn't, like, usually we were used to seeing, let's say, three or four top end wide receiver or quarterbacks, and then there was like a significant drop in salary. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like the steps down to the guys who aren't as good are smaller this year. And so
is that because Watson's just still too low?
I think it's a little bit of that, and the guys who are below them, I think, shouldn't be as close as they are. Like, I'll put it that way.
That's fair.
But like, I went to Watson right away, just because like 1,000 from Mahomes is, that's a, like, a decent draw. I mean, you're not going to like find an argument against any of these guys. Like, they're all fantastic. The way that, I don't know how much you can read into what Mahomes did last week. Just because they like barely using Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell against the Jets in a game they absolutely destroyed the Jets in, but destroyed them because of Mahomes. Like,
that felt like a, by the way, I'm still here kind of game.
Yeah. And if like winning 35-9 would almost make us not play Mahomes, because we're like, oh, they killed them, so like, let me go play Edwards-Helaire or Bell. I saw Bell was like 15% in the millimaker, which
we kind of joked about it last week. I did not think he'd get to 15%.
I really like just dead lineups. Like, for those who play the millimaker, you should thank everybody who played Le'Veon Bell helping to pay the rake. But like, just I think revenge, all of those guys,
revenge.
Yeah. Absurd. I went to Watson because he was the cheapest one. I think he also has like the cheaper receivers that you can pair with them if you want. And so I think I actually tried my best not to go in this range. Like, if you're trying to play too expensive, like if you're playing Cook and Connor, or you want some of these expensive wide receivers, like you really can't pay all the way up at quarterback unless you've got some real punts. If you're playing Jordan Howard, then maybe you can do it, but you're probably dead in the water anyway. So I think the salary savings from Watson to the other guys is reasonable. And like, Buffalo and Seattle are weird because like, we came into the season expecting their defenses to be good.
Yep.
And people are just shredding them. But like, Josh Allen's right below, but like, there's no way I'm playing Josh. Like, I get it. But like, maybe the Garoppolo play last week that seemed like such a slam dunk that is apparently an ankle injury.
No, it was terrible before the injury, by the way.
Right. And then, like,
yeah, like it wasn't working, and then he got hurt. Like, it wasn't working either.
Right. So, Seattle, like, cross country trip, playing an early body clock game, like, it probably doesn't matter, but, like, it's there.
I don't think with them it does. I think they figured that out. They're really good on the road on the East Coast.
Right. And so, like, I think if you can afford any of these guys, like, if you have Watson or anyone below, and you make the rest of your lineup and you have the money to go up, like, I think it's fine. Like, I don't think anyone is going to be like overly popular among quarterbacks. I mean, we never really see quarterbacks like super popular anyway, but I think you're fine with any of them, as horrible as a answer that is.
No, I don't think it's a horrible answer. I think I agree with you on Mahomes. I'm not playing him this week. I think that when you look at the way the Panthers play defense, they don't blitz, so they don't like give themselves up to big plays. I think they're going to try. They play a lot of zone, which Mahomes doesn't, you know, shred as much as normally. So I think that, like you said, Mahomes can go off any time. I think this is not a game where it's built for him to go off. They allow 6.6 yards per attempt, so they're kind of like a, you know, keep it in front of us kind of defense, and that's the kind of D that Mahomes has struggled with a little bit. Not struggle, but they just like, all right, well, we'll just run the ball and score different ways. So they're still going to score, but I don't think you have that, like, the big play kind of explosion for Mahomes. He can do it anytime. Plays can break down. He has Tyreek Hill, so that can work, but not a week I'm paying up for him. The only guy we didn't really talk about in there, you talked about Wilson and Watson. Kyler Murray is 7,800. He's been top 10 at quarterback every single week this season. He's just been super consistent. The rushing is crazy. He has 7 rush TDs in 7 games. We talked about guys like sneaking in some rushes here and there. He's like every week with it. He was 360 and 3 touchdowns and 67 yards and a touchdown running against Seattle last time we saw him on the field. That was week 7, that crazy game. Miami's been good recently against quarterbacks, but they haven't faced good ones. Russell Wilson had 360 yards on them. Josh Allen had 417 and 4 touchdowns in the first month. My only concern with Murray would be, like, can Miami hang in this game? It's only a 4.5-point spread, but, like, how good is Tua going to look? Can he stick with Murray? Can they kind of go back and forth and make this a fun shootout game? Because I think you want – with Murray, that's what you want, is you want that back and forth like we had against Seattle. That'd be my only concern, is I just don't know what we're going to get from Tua. The Cardinals defense is not something I'm scared of, but, you know, I'd like to see Miami do it once. And they're playing really well, but last week, like we mentioned, was the defense and special teams. That'd be my only concern there, is I don't think it's like as much as a back and forth crazy high scoring game that we might get with Houston and Jacksonville, or with Seattle and Buffalo.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
but so good.
I mean, he has really not played a single good team yet. And not that like the Dolphins are great, but
I wish I could be offended.
Sorry. So like, I mean, just looking recently, like, the 360-3 is against Seattle, who we keep talking about is just giving up loads of points. The week before was against Dallas. The week before that was against the Jets. And like,
wow, they went Jets, Dallas, Seattle in order.
Yeah. They played the Panthers the week before that, when he threw for 133 yards. Of course, he had 3 touchdowns. And then Detroit the week before that, Washington, and then obviously the opener against San Francisco. And so, opener against San Francisco, when he threw for 230 yards and 1 touchdown. Like, he ran for 91.
Significantly the best defense he faced in that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, again, the Dolphins aren't like an elite defense, but they're good. Like, they're good. So, I don't know. That's the only wrinkle I can add. Like, maybe he'll only score 29 points instead of 39.
No, that's fair. I like Wilson and Watson the most in this group. Those are the two that I would pull out as my favorite. I think that you can play Russ every week, and if you think that Allen does enough against their defense, which I do, I think this game would be pretty significantly back and forth. I mean, just real quick on Wilson, like, he's been quarterback 7 or better every game but one. You know, they throw the ball a lot. Their running backs are so banged up. Great game script. He has 3 or more passing touchdowns in 6 of 7 weeks. That is crazy. Like, you look at his game log, and it just is unlike anything else you see with everybody else. It's like 3, 3, 4, 4, 5, 4. It's bonkers. And he has the 2 stud receivers, and we'll talk about them in a second here. The Bills gave up 300 plus yards passing 3 weeks in a row, week 2 to 4, when they're playing some big quarterbacks. I think it's Wilson and Watson for me in the range.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So as we drop down, we have 2 very interesting guys at 6,800. I know you're not going to like one of them in Lamar Jackson. The other one is Justin Herbert, who has been utterly fantastic. 20 plus fantasy points in 5 of 6 starts. His last 4 starts, let me read them to you real quick. 290-3, 264-4, 343-3, 278-3. Like, that's 13 touchdowns over his last 4 starts. A nice game script here. I've mentioned before, I like this game to go over. Raiders and Chargers. I think the Raiders could do enough on offense to make them stick with it. You know, we talked about Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly. Like, they're fine, but, you know, not guys like, oh my God, he's going to get too many carries. They're just going to run the ball the whole game. Brady was really good against Las Vegas. He had 4 touchdowns a couple weeks ago. Mahomes was good earlier. I love Justin Herbert, though. I found nothing to go away from him to play. Obviously, he's getting a little bit higher price. He's so close to Watson that's maybe the reason. But under 7,000, I'll still take Justin Herbert any day right now.
So Herbert is exactly the guy that I was like, he's too close to the others, salary-wise. Yeah. Like, he should be there. It's like an efficient price. But it just felt like earlier in the season or last season, it was like you had your group of guys who were like 7K and above, and then the few guys in the 67, 66 you'd never play, and then you get somebody like Herbert at 63, 62. And you're like, all right, I'll go there. Everything you said, I agree with. I love Herbert this week. When I was going through, it was like, oh, I really like Watson, but I'm like, wait a minute, I really like Herbert. And I like wanted to keep scrolling to find him.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, he's actually just right there.
Yeah.
So you don't get much of a discount. So I think he's going to go. He could potentially be a little overlooked just because Watson makes so much sense. But he obviously has one receiver who he loves to throw to, who I think you could argue is underpriced a little bit still, in Keenan Allen, who we'll get to in a little bit. So
that price last week was so stupid.
That one was really dumb.
Yeah.
I think you could win a GPP with Lamar this week.
As I study this slate more and more, I liked this offense more and more this week. I think that nobody's going to play them, and I think that it's a game where if I told you 6 weeks ago, I'm like, oh, Lamar Jackson, 6,800 DraftKings, you would have thought that like he was significantly injured all season or something. Like, mm-hmm. 6,800 for a guy that was the MVP last year and had like 40 points. It was crazy last year. And last week, like, I think we saw it a little bit. Like, he made some mistakes, but he had that long rushing touchdown and got called back. He was 13 to 28 passing, though. Like, the passing stuff is just not there right now. Marquise Brown complained after the game. Love the squeaky wheel wide receivers. We're getting to receivers. But I think exactly what you said about the GPP is kind of exactly how I felt about Lamar this week.
Yeah. I mean, it was four turnovers last week. Like, that's... Yeah.
He did not play well. I mean, they had a lot of yards, so he played well in that regard, but like made so many mistakes in the passing. 13 to 28. I mean,
that's really bad.
The Pittsburgh's defense is good, and but, I mean, they weren't last week. They gave up a lot of rushing yards, but I don't know. Indy's been good against the pass overall, faced a lot of weak quarterbacks. Matt Stafford had 336 and three touchdowns last week. Joe Burrow had 313 yards against them the week before. Lamar hasn't been over 210 yards passing or two touchdowns passing since week one, so like it's a lot of reasons to be like, it's just not working this year, but there's a lot of talent in that body that under 7,000. Like I think he's a prime GPP guy this week. Especially we talk about Herbert. I think people will like him, and people will obviously love Watson and Wilson and Kyler and Josh Allen right in that range too. I think people go to Josh Allen over Lamar, and I think I go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, we looking at our DVP page because I'm like, how have rushing quarterbacks done against the Colts? Like, the Colts have given up. So, like, when you consider Lamar, it's like you think about the rushing yards, and then, like, the passing yards are like, what's on top. Mm-hmm. Which is why, like, Kyler's been so ridiculous, because he's basically doing Lamar's rushing and throwing for 300 yards. But, like, back at, like, the schedule. So, they have not – the most rushing yards they've allowed this season to a quarterback is 20.
Have they faced anybody that can run?
Minshew, Cousins, Darnold, Foles, Mayfield, Burrow, Stafford.
Not the most athletic group I've ever heard.
Right, right.
Maybe Minshew, I guess. But yeah, that's like, I'd be shocked if they had given up over 20 yards rushing, except for Sam Darnold with his 60-yard touchdown runs. But aside that...
Darnold had the 20. That was the season high.
There's Minshew nobody had 19. There's nobody in that range you're like, we better keep a linebacker spy on this guy.
Right, right. Yeah. Burrow can move a little bit. He rushed 3 times for 2 yards, but he had a touchdown. But like, it's when you look at defensive stats, particularly with Jackson, it's almost like you just have to throw them out. Like, if a team gives up a lot of passing yards like that, I mean, that's fine. But like, he's just so different than every quarterback still, that I'm just not sure. Like, all the numbers say like not to play him this week, which is every reason to try to win a tournament with him.
I would not be shocked if we flipped on Sunday night as we're watching the game and the Lamar, Marquise Brown, yeah, Mark Andrews stack was like, oh, that looks really good right now. And narratives are stupid, but Mahomes had that, like, I'm still here narrative last week. And I think you might get that here from the Lamar Jackson this week. I think that he took a lot of heat this week. And I like guys coming off games that took a lot of heat. He was blamed for that. I mean, it was his fault they lost that game. And that pick six was horrible. And he had the fumble. I mean, he just didn't play. He didn't keep track of the ball. He turned it over too much. I don't know. Under 7,000. I'm certainly gonna have some GPP lineups with Lamar this week.
Yeah, they're cheap too. Like, the receivers are cheap. Like, you don't. Yeah, it's not like you have to.
Mark Andrews is finally cheap. Like, it's, yeah, like, we'll talk about tight ends, but he's like finally at a point where like Mark Andrews is priced where he should be for, you know, being a touchdown dependent guy who doesn't get any yards. Like,
right.
It's finally there that the 2019 pricing is finally gone. And same with Marquise Brown. Like, he's finally been dropped down too.
Yep.
You can really stack nicely with them this week. And that's a play that I'm pretty aggressive with this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the difficulty is that there's nobody cheap I want to play.
So there's two guys I want to talk about. Actually, three, but one's quick. I David Carr's 5,700. I'm not going to go there this week. I just think that I think this game could get back and forth. If you wanted to stack this game, I think you could do it. If you go with like a Carr Waller and you come back with like, you know, Allen or maybe even Allen Williams, I think it could work. But I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to find a way to make it Herbert instead of Carr in the stack.
Okay, I agree.
So talk to me at 50. There's nobody in the middle I like. Everybody's talking about – people talk about Ben Roethlisberger, Dallas. I'm not doing that. I just think that the game script doesn't work well, and he has not looked great. I'm finally with you. I'm not playing Matt Ryan ever again.
There's no reason to ever play him again. Like,
the crazy thing is he has one touchdown or fewer in 5 of his last 6 games. It's impossible in this current NFL. But the one week he didn't was the week that he won the Millionaire Maker at 371.
Yeah, so,
like,
I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, like, for cash games, there's always someone else you can play.
And Calvin Ridley might not play. Like, there's no way I'm doing it this week. But the guy in that game across the field from him, 5,200. Drew Lock is facing the Falcons. The Falcons have allowed 300 plus passing yards in every single game this year, except for the one last week where it started raining in Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater became really bad. Strictly a price and matchup play. He's 5,200. So, like, you're getting a $2,000 savings from almost all the guys we talked about before, you know, 1,600 from Herbert and Lamar, but close enough. Hasn't been over 254 yards in a game, but last week he really led that comeback against the Chargers. He had 240 yards, three touchdowns. He only has four passing touchdowns all year, so that it kind of is. You're just looking at last week. I think strictly price matchup, if you want to get a little different, lock's the way to go if you want to get down here. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I could see that path pretty easily.
Yeah, that's fun. I could see
it's
that.
Fun. It's not a great play. And it's a risky, super risky play. But Atlanta's bad, and if Atlanta does enough with their offense to score 24 points or something like that, like you see this game getting in the mid 50s pretty easily with a little back and forth and bad work on defense. He's the only guy in this range that I would consider, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
If Staff doesn't play, you got Chase Daniel at 4,000. I'm not doing it, but 4,000 for a quarterback. Chase Daniel has five career starts, six touchdowns total in those starts. I think Stafford's probably going to play. It sounds like he's going to come off the COVID mini. And the Minnesota defense is not good. It's banged up. So I could see that if you really want to pump. But without Kenny Golladay, I don't think there's enough upside in this offense to do it.
I agree. Do you have any consideration to the Jaguars guys, whoever starts, since we don't even know yet?
I think it's going to be Jake Luton.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Probably not. I think that the receivers are hard to figure out too. I think that if you want to, it's hard to figure out who you want to stack, whether you go Cole or Chenault or DJ Chark. I think it's hard to figure out who you want to stack people with. I'd probably go Lock before I went with one of the Jacksonville guys, to be honest.
Texans have allowed 8 passing touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Yeah, that's not ideal. And it's a game script game. Like you get, if Watson gets out there and they score early, like you could totally see the games are working. I just don't know. It's hard for me to play a quarterback I've never seen play, so it's I think I'm gonna Lock instead.
Okay.
But I think there's so many quarterbacks that I think I'll be in the Herbert Lamar range probably if I try and save a little bit of money. I don't think I'm gonna go way down here.
Yeah, just in terms of like safety, it seems like there's always like one guy who's really low that you're like, oh, I could always do that. I mean, it was Jimmy G last week against Seattle. It's been Fitzpatrick a few times this season. It just doesn't seem like the guys down there this week.
Yeah, I think Lock's that guy, but it's not a, like I'm going to go down here and be safe. It's like I'm going to go down here and save a bunch of money and stack a certain way in a GPP. And I think you get, if you get 260 and three touchdowns on Lock, it could really work. But
yep.
it's a risky dark kind of play.
For sure.
Let's talk about receivers. But first, a note from our sponsor, BetMGM. Football's in full swing, and new customers at BetMGM Sports can win the season with a 100% deposit match, up to $500. Simply sign up and make a deposit with the bonus code ROTOWIRE to take advantage of the offer. There's never been a better time to get on the action at BetMGM with parlay bonus payouts, live betting, daily boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Don't let one more minute of the NFL season pass you by. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code ROTOWIRE to double your betting bankroll with a 100 deposit match up to $500. You must be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Although that's growing over last week's elections. We had some states that that's are right. Going to be doing some sports gambling. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, or 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offers not available in Nevada. So pass catchers this week, Andrew, at the top, we got a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys you look at like, oh, this matchup works. This price works. I like the quarterback. I like the situation. Over 7,000, I think we've got five guys. Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, and DK Metcalf. What do you do? Are there a couple guys in that range that stick out for you among the others?
I think because of how many there are, you don't need to pay $8,200 for Hopkins.
I agree.
It's just a matter of, I think Julio Jones is going to be really popular because if Ridley doesn't play, then people just automatically go there. Diggs is kind of weird. Like, I feel like every week everything works out, but he just hasn't had like a monster game yet for the number of targets that he gets.
Yeah, he had that one earlier in the year against Miami, but not since then. You could list off the stats against Seattle, until you're blue in the face. But they've given 12 games, 12 wide receivers have over 80 yards in Seattle in 7 weeks. Like that stat seems almost impossible, right? Like you're always gonna have a wide receiver one that gets 95 or 100 yards on you, but 12 of them in 7 weeks is just. I keep looking at them like this is not right. I must have added up wrong, and I go back. I'm like, yeah, 12 guys. I mean, that's. Great game script with Diggs. The targets last week, 16, 8, 11, and 9. I think it's 7,400. If you're playing the Seattle game, it gets expensive really fast though. If you want to go Wilson and one of the receivers with Diggs, you're going to have to go. You're probably going to Dobbins and maybe someone in the 6,000 range. So you're getting cheap pretty quick and getting some cheap receivers. But I can't get away from Diggs in the matchup. I like him as a play this week.
Sure. I mean, he makes a ton of sense. It's funny when you go to like DVP pages, the DraftKings one, Seahawks have given up more wide receiver points than any other team.
Yep.
And in this time of the season, you're like, oh, well, they probably have played more games than everybody or, you know, than others. And it's like, nope, they actually have already had their bye. And yet they're still cumulatively giving up everything. So, yeah, I think if you have enough faith in Josh Allen continuing what he's doing, then, yeah, Diggs, you think Diggs is better than Julio?
I mean, those are the two guys in this range that I do have highlighted. Above 7,000 are my two favorite plays. I mean, Julio's been... You know, what's that, 29 targets since he came back from injury last year. He's 137 yards, been massive. Williams and Keenan Allen both scored against Denver last week. I like Diggs a little bit more just because I like the game a little bit more. But, I mean, I wouldn't argue as Julio this week, especially if Ridley doesn't play.
And do you consider Keenan Allen better than both of them?
I don't this week.
You don't?
I don't.
So you love Herbert, and you think that game's going to have 140 points in it. But you don't like the best receiver in the game.
I just like those other two guys a lot this week. I like Keenan Allen. He's on my list here. I mean, he's up $800 to 7,000. He'd be my third guy in this range. But I mean, at some point, you got to make a decision and see which one you like more. I like Diggs more this week. I think that if I'm going straight up with Diggs and Allen, I take Diggs. My thing is, I like Tyler Lockett more than Allen this week, and he's $200 cheaper. So I got $6,800 against Lockett. We didn't talk about him yet because he was over seven. We just kind of did the 7,000 guys, but. I think Diggs a little bit higher and Lockett a little bit lower takes me off Keenan Allen. But I mean, if I'm playing Herbert, I certainly would stack them together. But if I'm just looking at which guy I like more in terms of ranking them, I prefer Lockett and Diggs this week.
So what makes Lockett better than Metcalf?
$1,000 cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Is a huge difference for me. Obviously, Metcalf was huge last week, but I think it's the way the matchup is. I think with Buffalo, they've got Tre'Davious White. We saw a couple weeks ago when Patrick Peterson was guarding Metcalf, we saw that they're like, oh, well, you know, we'll just run Lockett around and throw it to him. And the Niners are built with, you know, good linebackers, good safeties. And I thought that we talked about last week. I just didn't think they had anybody to guard Metcalf on the outside. And we saw that they just, I mean, Pete Carroll's smart, Russell Wilson's smart.
Confirmed.
Like, it's like Emmanuel Mosley and Jason Verrett, you know, have some talent, but they're 5'8". Like, there's no way they're going to guard Metcalf, whether it be on a back shoulder kind of play or just deep. Like, Metcalf's faster than everybody. So I just think game script wise, it works out. I think Lockett against the Bills defense works better with the way, you know, slot receivers. There's only been two guys over 100 yards in Buffalo all year. Cooper Kupp and Jamison Crowder, both slot guys. So I think it just works well matchup wise. I think Lockett's a better play this week. And when you get him $1,000 less, it becomes an easy better play for
me. Okay. That's all.
DK Metcalf is awesome golf against anybody, but $1,000 less, I think it's a pretty easy call this week for Lockett.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Lockett's probably my favorite receiver in this range overall.
Okay. I like it.
What about getting a little bit lower? We've got any interest in, like, I'm just, you know, Allen Robinson, Tyreek Hill, anybody in that range? I mean, I can't fathom playing those guys over Lockett or Diggs for me. But anybody else in this range you really love?
That's sort of where I was going. Like, those other guys are just so much better, and they're all, it's kind of like the quarterbacks, like the guys who are just a few hundred more are just so much better. And so, but I mean, I looked at Allen because I liked Herbert. I looked at Fuller because I like Watson, and like Fuller is like a guy I just always try not to play. It's like a little bit of like the Anthony Davis in the NBA fear that like at some point he's just going to like, oh no. And then he's just done.
Every other game it feels like.
Yeah. Right, right. And so at least with Fuller, like I can convince myself that Brandon Cooks is good enough. And especially because he's so much cheaper. Like you don't have the, I mean, I guess now the separation between Metcalf and Lockett's getting big, but like usually they're pretty cheap. They're pretty close. Same with Julio and Ridley when they're both healthy. But like just going down the list, like Thielen, and then I'll just try to convince myself that Justin Jefferson is better, or, you know, better for the price. I mean, Terry McLaurin at 6,500 is...
I like that one.
Is, it feels underpriced, but it's also not cheap. So you have to like kind of convince yourself that he's just going to get enough volume against one of the worst defenses in the NFL with 23 targets in the last two games. Like, I think he makes perfect sense, but I don't necessarily think he like jumps out, just because I think we've gotten him for cheaper.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. McLaurin's really become a target guy, though. Like, I think last year is like the big play guy, but he has 7+ targets every game. He has 10 targets a game. I think he's 9.9, ranks in the top 10 there. Not the greatest game flow. You know, this game might be a little bit ugly, but, you know, and the Giants have only allowed 100-yard receiver, but he's a nice combo right now of being really explosive and the target share. Like, we don't see that with many guys that are, you know, in this range. Usually you get like one or the other. Like, Justin Jefferson can blow up any time, but it's not getting, you know, 10+ targets. I think McLaurin is the one guy in this range that is the combination of those two. He can make the explosive plays and get the targets. I think that he makes it. He's probably my favorite play in the mid sixes. You mentioned one other guy. GPP wise, I think Adam Thielen is interesting just because I don't think anybody's going to play him this week. There's like, you're going to look at it, you're going to be like, oh, McLaurin and Lockett are right there. Oh, Keenan Allen's right there. I mean, everybody's going to slide by Thielen. Dude has 8 touchdowns on the year, has not done anything the last couple of weeks. I think he's off everybody's radar. He has 78 yards total the last 2 weeks, only 9 targets. Price under 7,000 for Thielen, I think, is a point where you're like, and nobody's going to play him is an interesting combo, but I think it's a GPP kind of thing if you want to be a little bit different, get away from, you know, Lockett and Allen. I think he's interesting, but not a guy that I'll play as like a core guy in any way.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Going back to McLaurin for a quick second, do you have any hesitation that James Bradberry shadows him?
I do. I think that he's that one guy in the Giants defense that's really good. I still think McLaurin is an explosive enough to make a play, and they'll move him around a little bit. But yeah, I think that's a factor. Like, I don't factor that a lot. Usually the cornerbacks, except for the elite guys. Like, I think the elite guys do make a difference, and they have been shadowing me a little bit with Bradberry. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah, so the Giants Bucks game what was that, Monday or was that Thursday? Whatever their national game. There we have another NFC East team there.
I think it was Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, like it was Monday because they came out like they were going to lose the game and then they came back. It was Monday, yeah.
Right. So Mike Evans was like, everybody was like, oh, Godwin's out, so we'll just go to Evans. Evans had five catches for 55 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets, which is like fine, but not great. Certainly at his usual price. So yeah, Bradbury's like one of those guys who I'm just like, if I don't have to play against him, I'm not going to grab that guy. And unfortunately, it's not like I'm going to play any other Washington football team receiver. And if I like Gibson too, like maybe I just go there. But what do you think about, I was going to ask about Robbie Anderson, but DJ Moore is really your guy. So like 5,600, they really haven't been throwing that much to him lately. Anderson too, like all of a sudden it's just like that's not part of the offense. And really it just seems like the offense isn't doing anything. CMC back, probably. Is there any thought that you can get something out of the Carolina guys against Kansas City, thinking maybe they have to catch up?
I mean, I think that's more of a maybe they'll have to catch up. I think that's pretty safe. Well, yeah. Kansas City is going to score. Yeah, it's interesting how these targets have kind of evened out. Like we talked about earlier in the year, like it was more for the big plays and then Anderson was getting more targets. But 21 targets for Anderson the last 3 weeks, 22 for Moore. So they've kind of evened out a little bit. It's weird that Moore has become the big play guy and Anderson the possession guy when, you know, Anderson was the opposite of that when he was with the Jets. I think they're both interesting, but I think for me, I'd probably just go the cheaper guy. I think I'd save $700 and hope that it's a DJ Moore week over Anderson. I think I like him more as a little bit of a big play guy. But yeah, I mean, second half, they should be throwing the whole time, and these guys are going to get peppered with targets. I think they're both playable, but for me, I'd probably just save the money and go cheaper, to be honest.
There's one cheaper guy that I would love to ask about who has two teammates in this price range.
Deontay, huh?
I mean, everything lines up if he's healthy, right?
It does, and it's like we saw the price bump last week, and he's back down to Deontay Johnson. We're talking about Pittsburgh. He's up to He's down to 5,000 on DraftKings, and you know Juju's kind of been back the last couple of weeks. He has 22 targets last 2 weeks, but he's 6,200. Like I'm not paying him at that price for. He's kind of turned into weirdly a possession guy. Like he was 9 for 85 and 7 for 67 the last 2 weeks. Obviously, the question against Dallas is how much will they throw, but Dallas can't. They can do whatever they want against Dallas, to be honest. But yeah, I think Deontay is interesting at 5,000. I think there's a lot of guys in this range. You mentioned Brandon Cooks. Weird with Cooks is like he had that zero, and there was a lot of people played him that week, and it was frustrating. But he has 9+ targets the last 3 weeks after the zero, over 60 yards of 3 weeks. He had 8 for 161 and a touchdown in this exact same matchup against Jacksonville. So obviously something worked here. Jalen Guyton and Keenan Allen had over 200 yards on Jacksonville week 7. They've given up a 100-yard receiver the last few weeks. So I think Cooks works in this range too at 5,500, especially if you stack watching like you mentioned earlier. If I'm playing a Pittsburgh receiver, though, to actually answer your question, it's Deontay Johnson at 5,000. I know he's burned me a couple times, but you know, 15 targets the week before the Baltimore game, and he kind of got hurt again last week and was in the tent and then back out. I think it's a nice price to make some big plays early, and in a game where they're going to lead, I want the guy that's going to make the big plays early rather than possession guys, because I don't think you get a lot of those like peppering targets in the second half. So in a game where they're a big target, give me the guy who makes the big plays over the guy who gets the most targets.
And Claypool's just not a thought.
I mean, he's always there and explosive, but I think if Johnson and Juju are both in the field, I think we've seen that Claypool's the third guy there. I think Claypool's done better when those two other guys, like one of them gets hurt or something happens. But I mean, I wouldn't begrudge it in this matchup. Anybody can make a big play early, but if I'm going to take someone, for me, it's Deontay at 5,000.
Okay. There are a bunch of guys in this range that I think you can get away with.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, just go up a little bit. We mentioned Marquise Brown earlier. We were talking about Lamar. He tweeted earlier, you know, why do you have a bunch of soldiers if you aren't going to use them? Then deleted the tweet, obviously, I'm sure. Harbaugh saw it and freaked out. Two targets last week against Pittsburgh in a game that they were, you know, trailing and had to throw a little bit. But yeah, we mentioned Lamar did completely passes. He had 13 completions. Did catch a touchdown. I always like wide receivers that complain the week before because I tend to think that the coaches drop a play. I just have to fathom they run a couple deep plays for him and like drop some stuff to get him loose deep. I mean, he's so fast. Indy's given up 85 plus yards to a wide receiver each of the last 4 weeks. So there's been like a wide receiver that has done well against them. He had 6 plus targets every game before last week. I think there's this narrative that they're not using him at all. They have been using him before last week. I think last week was kind of an aberration. I think it's 6,000. He's expensive enough where not everybody's going to flock to him, but cheap enough where the talent kind of works out. I like Marquise Brown this week, and I'm hoping that the squeaky wheel comes into play a little bit.
Yeah, that Ravens passing stack is cheap. Like, I think there's every reason, and especially with how much we talked about Dobbins and how good the running game is. Like, that Baltimore team can put up a ton of points. They may not put up a ton of yards, but if they put up a ton of points, then you're fine. And I guess Brown could score an 80-yard touchdown pretty easily. You know, that's in his wheelhouse. So
for sure. Mike Williams, we mentioned the Chargers offense, 5,100 there. Another guy that you're going to get some up and down. He had his last weeks are 8 targets, 3 targets, 8 targets, 109 yards, then 4, then 99. But last week was good. I think he's kind of the guy you're going to have to hit that big play down the sideline, but Herbert can throw it. They like to do it. Game we've mentioned a bunch of times, I like to go over the number. His price has bumped up a little bit, but I think at 5,100, he's still pretty playable.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So as we get cheaper here, I'm going to let you go first. Under 5,000, is there anybody that jumps out to you as like, this is a week that I want to use this guy?
I wish I could get something out of a like any sort of safety out of a Chiefs wide receiver not named Tyreek Hill, and not that he's like the safest guy. But like Mecole Hardman had 9 targets last week, 4,800. Like, that's a game that they should be throwing. You know, they should at least early on be throwing in because of the Chiefs. But I would never admit this publicly, but I really like playing Sammy Watkins when he's healthy.
I think you just admitted it publicly.
Oops. I just think like the way that they use him, like he gets enough targets, and you know, he's not going to have like an explosive game, but at 4,600, if he's healthy, I think I might look his way, but ultimately I'm not sure how much I'm in this range. Cause I think like that group that we just talked about, there are like a number of guys that I think you would play over them. Obviously it's a roughly $1,000 difference, but I mean, I would prefer to even go below this group if I can, instead of, I feel like this is kind of a dead zone for me, at least in terms of cash games.
So I've got two guys in this range that I do like, and I'm considering. The first is Jerry Jeudy with the Broncos against Atlanta. Matchup play, and he's priced down. He's 4,700 now. Tim Patrick may not play. I think that's a big part of this. If he doesn't play, I like the target share here. 10 targets last week for Jeudy. He only caught 4 of them. He had 73 yards. He had a 47-yard catch. A guy that I don't think we doubt the talent. I mean, he's obviously coming out of Alabama. The route running is impressive. He can get open. You know, Drew Lock is a bit of a wild card here with the accuracy. But the key with Jeudy last week is they moved him to the outside. He's playing a lot of slot. They moved him to the outside without Tim Patrick playing, and I think that's a better spot for him. Great matchup, great game script. We talked about Seattle giving up a lot of stats. Atlanta's allowed 9 wide receivers over 90 yards in the year. We had the Seattle stat was 12 over 80. 9 over 90 is still really good in whatever this is, 8 weeks. Justin Jefferson killed them. We saw that a couple weeks ago. 9 for 166, 2 touchdowns. I think Judy's at a price that he's a little bit low this week, and I think if Patrick doesn't play, that I'm going to find myself using some Jeudy this week.
Yeah, I think that's more of a we play him for what should happen and not like what is more likely to happen. I mean, it's tough to got to. I mean, obviously he was playing outside, so like getting the number of receptions off of 10 targets isn't as easy. You know, it's easier to catch shorter passes, but like 4 of 10, really a bummer.
I think, but at this price, I think you get a combination of, you're going to get some targets, and he's got the explosive big play ability too. We saw that a little bit earlier with that touchdown against the Jets. That was obviously more of a bad defensive play, but yeah. And he's enough upside there that at 4,700, I think he's interesting. The other guy in this range is Sterling Shepard at 4,800. It's weird. Like, they have all these receivers and they're kind of interchangeable, but he's always the guy that gets the targets when he does play. He had 18 targets the last couple of weeks, 59, 74 yards. I think he has a nice floor in PPR. I don't think he's a big explosive guy. Almost had a long touchdown last week, but Washington's been pretty good against the pass. They haven't allowed a 90-yard receiver all year. I think I like Judy more this week just for the upside, but Shepard at under 5,000, I think, is a pretty good floor if you're looking for someone here that you just kind of, you know, you want to get your 6-7 catches from.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good call.
Under 4,000, I've got a few guys down here. Is there anybody that you're especially interested in this week in this really low range?
I found myself, like, having to use like six different things of like, if this happens and this guy doesn't play, and I just like can't really get comfortable with anyone.
Okay.
And I need at least one. So hit me, please.
Well, I mean, the first one is a guy that we played last week and it worked out, is Darnell Mooney. He's still 3,900. He had a touchdown last week. He had six more targets, 5 for 69. He has 5+ targets in each of the last four games, and he's still under 4,000. I thought he's gonna be like 4,500 this week. He's 3,900 on DraftKings. He only went up $400, and the game script is nice. I mean, there are underdogs in this game. Nick Foles clearly likes him and takes shots to him, and we talked about, you know, since Foles has taken over, Mooney's been very involved. I mean, he's a boom or bust guy. There's no doubt about it. But you get that when you're under 4,000, you're going to get that. But I think he gets enough targets and has the upside that you kind of, I think a little bit of it kind of both work out under 4,000. He's a guy that usually you get one or the other.
Yeah.
And with him, I think you get both. I mean, it's an offense that, you know, Foles, who knows what's going to happen. But when you're going to give me targets and a little bit of a deep play upside guy, I think that under 4,000, that's a shot I'm willing to take.
Yeah, right. I would take an under 4,000. I guess that's fair. Foles is just awful, though.
Foles is bad.
They should really play. They should start Trubisky and then put Foles in, at the end of the first quarter, because he just seems so much better coming off the bench.
Yeah, or halftime when they're down by 17. Right. Trubisky threw two pick sixes. Yeah.
Right.
I do like Mooney. I just think that they take shots to him. Danny Amendola is mildly interesting down here. 3,700. I know you cringe because he's a Patriot guy.
No, it's the other guy, though. Take the other guy.
Yeah, that's true too. Kenny Galladay, he's not going to play. In the first 2 weeks when Galladay didn't play, Amendola had 14 targets those first 2 weeks. Didn't do a lot with them, but if you're looking for, in a drafting situation where you're getting the full point PPR, I think it's pretty safe that Amendola gets 7 to 8 targets this week.
I mean, but would you rather 48 yards on your 8 targets or 100 yards on 8 targets?
That's a fair point. I don't know. I just think that if you're going to go under 4,000 and you want a floor, Amendola works well.
He obviously, yes, makes plenty of sense for that reason. I mean, Marvin Hall was pretty good last week, though.
He was good.
Obviously, this all assumes
508 yards, something like that.
Yeah, this obviously assumes that Stafford plays. Like, there's no way you look at these guys if Chase Daniels there.
For sure not. Okay. It's got to be Stafford playing. But I think both guys that, you know, if you want to take a shot down here, kind of work. My other guy is a guy that on the same team as Jerry Jeudy is KJ Hamler. We talked about him a little bit last year or a few weeks ago when he kind of first, and he got hurt right away. But he did score in that. He scored last week. But the key with Hamler for me is that when they moved Jeudy outside, they put Hamler in the slot, and I think that's a spot that's good for him. He played 52 snaps last week. And this is a guy that has talent, was really good at Penn State last year. We mentioned the matchup. Atlanta's allowed 9 guys over 90 yards. He's 3,400 on DraftKings. If Patrick doesn't play, I think that you get a situation here where you get a lot of snaps. And if you're going to, you know, for that cheap, I'm going to try and, you know, fall into a game that maybe goes a little bit back and forth. Atlanta's defense is really bad. He scored last week, only 3 targets. But if you told me that he's going to play 52 snaps again, I think I'd take a shot on Hamler again at 3,400.
That's fair. I think that's a price and opportunity situation that you could definitely take advantage of.
And a little bit of mix of talent in there too. Like, it's just he's a guy that does have a little bit of game. And I think that, is priced down because he hasn't done a lot, but, Hamler and Mooney would be the two guys for me under 4,000 that, I'd be much more inclined to play than anybody else.
Do you have any consideration for, if we know Ridley's probably not playing, if Russell Gage doesn't play, do you have any thoughts on either Christian Blake or our boy Olamide Zaccheaus?
I really don't. I mean, I know that it could work, and I just think they'd probably pepper Julio, and maybe I move up Hayden Hurst if that's the case. But I like Hamill and Mooney more than those other two guys just because I don't know where that's going to go in this situation. I think it'd be just kind of, I don't know. They could both work. Christian Blake, you know, showed a little bit last week and he got a couple catches. But in Zacchaeus, we talked about like 4 or 5 weeks ago when the situation worked out well, but it didn't work out well.
No, it didn't work. Yeah.
The week it before it worked to. Out really well. Yeah, I go Hamler and Mooney over those two guys myself.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, no, and I mean,
anytime I can bring up Olamide Zaccheaus, it seems like I should sure. be able. I should.
He's
do
kind
that.
Of the official guy of the podcast. Do That's you, right. if Gage does play, do you consider playing him without Ridley?
I think I play Hurst before I play Gage.
Okay, so that's a good segue into tight ends. You know, with George Kittle out for a while here, Travis Kelce clearly becomes the guy. I think if you want to go a kind of a Mahomes Kelce stack and be a little bit different, you could do it. But at 7,200, I think I'm paying down this week at tight end.
For sure. I mean, I think Waller makes a ton of sense at 5,800 if you really wanted to spend up. There are enough guys. I mean, we only have three that are over 5,000. So it's not like we have to spend a whole lot, but there are some really attractive matchups here that you don't really have to pay too much for. And I mean, I think we have a few like very low punts that I think you could make cases for too.
In the 4,000 range, before we get to the punts, there are three guys that I think are very playable. I like a lot this week. First is Mark Andrews, we mentioned. I think he's finally at a price where you can use him. He was 6,500 2 weeks ago. Now he's 800. Like, that's a huge drop at tight end. Six targets last week. He's only 3 for 32. He does have 5 touchdowns. TJ Hawkinson did really well against Indy last week. I think it's if you're going to go with the Indy passing game, I think Andrews doesn't make sense. But the guy that I really like here, and we talked about Judy and Hamler, and the reason I might get away from those guys is I love Noah Fant this week. 4,600 DraftKings, I think, is at a price where he's not so cheap that everybody's going to go to him. But 9 targets last week. He's finally fully healthy. 7 for 47. I think no Tim Patrick would help too if he doesn't play. But 16 targets last 2 weeks. Great matchup. Great game script in Atlanta. Atlanta's allowed 8 touchdowns to tight ends on the season, which seems crazy, but it's actually true. They had a 3-touchdown game to Robert Tonyan, who did nothing last night for the Packers. Thanks. But I love Fant this week. 4,600. He is he's a guy that I'm having a lot of teams.
If you're gonna play a Broncos tight end for your touchdowns, why don't you get the guy who scores the touchdowns though?
Albert O, our boy last week. It was looking bleak.
Looking
for a while,
very bleak.
But got the red zone touch again. My concern on him was that the week before they were kind of playing both of them, and now Fant played so much of the time that Albert only had 16 snaps, which kind of muted me on him a little bit. I was happier when we're getting 7 targets. 1 target and 16 snaps can be really tough to overcome.
But like if he plays 32 snaps and yep. we get 2 touchdowns, obviously we'll
– Then it works. I mean, he's got 5 red zone targets the last 3 weeks. Like for a guy at 2,800, I think it works. But I do like Fant a lot this week.
No, yeah, Fant makes much more sense. I was surprised to see his price actually because it just seemed like he'd been inching up. He's a little cheaper than he was last week against the Chargers after 9 targets. So, yeah, I think Fant makes a ton of sense. I really like Hayden Hurst this week. 14 targets in the last 2 games. Obviously, we're expecting Ridley to be out. And if Gage is out too, like, I think I'm never going to make a 2 tight end lineup, but Fant and Hurst together would be quite a way to go. So
you mentioned 14 targets for Hurst. What if I told you $200 more, you get a guy who had 19 targets the last 2 weeks, 6 of 46 and 5 for 61. His price has dropped $900 the last 2 weeks, and he's playing Washington. Any interest in your boy Evan Engram this week? 19 targets the last 2 weeks.
And 3 rushing attempts.
Yeah. True also. He only had 30 yards against Washington, against them in week 6, but I don't know. I think it's playable at 4,300. I think I just prefer Fant for $300 more than I'll probably get away from it though.
Yeah, you usually don't need to convince me about Evan Engram. Like, I'm usually all right with that. And yeah. I mean, I'm certainly playing him over Gesicki or Fells or Hunter Henry, so or Jonnu Smith.
What the heck happened? What happened to Hunter Henry? Five straight weeks under 40 yards.
Herbert just can throw too much. Like he can just do it, and so they don't need it that underneath. I'm just amazed, and obviously his price like keeps going down, but I'm always amazed at how optimistic people are about Jonnu Smith. Like, what is it? Like, what is it every week that everyone's like, no, I like Jonnu this week, where like he is just your prototypical tight end or touchdown dependent tight end, and people are like expecting some sort of like 12 target game out of him. Like, I just don't get it. But now he's 3,900 and everyone's gonna be like, oh no, let's play Janu, because like we were playing him at 5,900.
He has four catches the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Total. Not per week, total.
I don't get it.
I think he's a guy that when he catch passes, he looks athletic and can mm-hmm. break away. He had five touchdowns the first four weeks, but right. I am not. I would not play him over Hurst, Ingram, Fant, like just everybody in that range. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Aside from Albert O, are there any other pure punts down that you like?
No, if I can pay, how much is he? 25?
28 for Albert O.
No, if I can play 2,800 for a guaranteed touchdown, then I don't need to go any lower.
The only guy that I think is remotely interesting down here is if dependent on someone not playing. If Greg Olsen does not play, he was limited at practice on Thursday. I think Will Dissly, if you wanted a piece of this game at 2,700, is a guy that I wouldn't argue hard against, just because of your fact you're getting a game that could go back and forth a lot of points. Wilson, you know, can strike to anybody. I don't love Will Dissly as a player, but 2,700 was the one guy under 3,000 that I can kind of get behind besides Albert.
I guess
it's not a good or pretty play, but if Olsen sits, you know, you're getting the starting tight end for a game that's the highest total in the game with maybe the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess you made me like Lockett way too much. That I'm like, obviously anything that would go to Olsen, who it's not like Olsen's like a nine target guy himself.
It's a punt down here if you need it. Yep. I think if you just get a piece of this game and a piece of this offense, it's super cheap. But
that makes sense.
Have to be Olsen not playing, but not anyone I'm excited about anyway.
Right, and you don't have to play like Tyler Croft on the other side.
Yeah, I don't want that. Defense this week. I think everybody's going to have Pittsburgh ranked first among you know, if you're playing a season long, but they're priced like they're first. I mean, they
crazy
struggled.
Price difference.
Yeah, they struggled yardage wise last week, but they still had four sacks and four turnovers and a touchdown. Dallas allowed 10 sacks the last 2 weeks. So I get that. I think they're a lot more playable on FanDuel, where all the defenses are kind of bunched together. Like if you look at the difference on between Pittsburgh and Washington, say on DraftKings at 1,500, it's 300 on FanDuel. So like you can argue for Pittsburgh pretty easily there. On DraftKings, it's really hard to get there. I like Washington at 3,400. They had six sacks last week against Dallas. The Giants have allowed six sacks over the last 2 weeks. They committed five turnovers the last 2 weeks. I think that Daniel Jones is the guy that gets loose with the ball. So I could see if you want to save some money. I think Washington 3,400 is one of my favorites in that mid-range. But you're usually better with cheap defenses. Who do you like this week?
You say that, but I'm actually I've been awful at it this season. Like, I just pick one, but like that doesn't.
Why did you tell me to play Miami last week against the Rams?
Oh, did I really?
No, I said, I wish you did.
Oh, I wish, yeah. I played the Browns, who I was like, oh, they're just as good. I immediately looked at the Vikings with the possibility of Stafford being out. Stafford being in doesn't make me like them quite as much. But if he doesn't play, 2,400, I think makes sense. There really wasn't anyone like dirt cheap that I liked. I think the cheapest I was really thinking of was maybe either Arizona or Tennessee.
Those are the two that I had down there too.
Yeah, like if you don't want to think that, I mean, Tua didn't even have that great of a game when he came, you know, when it finally came in down to it. Like that game was wacky for so many reasons.
Rookie quarterback in his first road start. You know, Arizona has eight sacks last three games. I think that could work at 2,900.
Yep, and then I'm fine playing anyone against Nick Foles at 3,000 on DraftKings. I think that's fine. And then Houston at 31. With Minshew out, as crazy as that sounds, like, oh, they have no Minshew, so they're done.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that's definitely a possibility, too.
I think everybody's going to play Washington. I think they're going to be the most popular. I like Baltimore this week. We talked about how that game, I think that Baltimore's going to win. 3,500 DraftKings is a pretty good price. They're 4,500 a fan. I don't like as much there. But Baltimore has 15 sacks last 3 weeks. The Indy offensive line is good, but if you're going to get Phillip Rivers, it's a game flow thing for me, just based on the way I think the game's going. I think Baltimore's going to get up. You get Phillip Rivers coming back, throwing passes. I think that he's going to make a couple mistakes. I think the Baltimore in the second half is a defense that's going to make some plays. I like that one at 3,500, but it's strictly by the way that I think the game's going to go rather than like Vegas or anything like that. I think Baltimore rolls in this game, and even as a small favorite, I think Rivers makes a couple mistakes in the second half that work out for fantasy.
It's weird to see that there are only 200 difference between Baltimore and Indianapolis. Like it feels like an overreaction to Lamar having a horrific game last week.
I think everything about Baltimore this week is an overreaction from last week. And if you look a little deeper, some turnovers made that game. They actually dominated Pittsburgh. The yardage difference is huge. And I get that, you know, Pittsburgh had the early lead and didn't have to do as much, but like that was a close game. The game got pretty close for most of the second half. And I just think that I think Baltimore's defense was good against Pittsburgh. I think their offense was really good against a really good defense aside from the turnovers. I think this week is a huge overreaction to that game last week.
Totally agree.
So, yeah, probably Baltimore 1 for me, Washington 2, and then if I wanted to save under 2,000, under 3,000, I'd probably go Arizona.
Yep, I like that.
Cool. Anything else you want to discuss for week 9 here?
No, I think it's just going to be an interesting week for cash games because you have, like, Cook and Connor, I feel like, are just the two obvious running back plays, but you're ultimately leaving yourself not a lot of salary for the other spots. And so you're, I think most people end up on Cook and then, but even the cheap running backs, like we went through them, they all kind of have some question marks like Gibson and Jackson, guys like that. And so I think we're not going to see like a very clear cash construction this week, unless something wacky happens between now and Sunday, which has happened multiple times this season because it's 2020.
You said Cook Connor. I'm going to bet that Chase Edmonds is a higher.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Edmonds as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's two guys. I think that, I think Edmonds is gonna be higher, but that think, getting, if you do play that, getting that third guy, that's cheap. I mean, you mentioned Jordan Howard, maybe people play Patrick Laird. I think getting that third guy right in a cash lineup is gonna be pretty, pretty big.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about a few cheaper wide receivers, but they're not that many of them.
Yeah.
Because there will absolutely be team jam them in with Cook, Edmonds, and Connor and just be like, I'll just let the wide receivers do what they do.
But like last week we had six or seven guys cheap. And if you look at the millionaire winner, it had Mims and someone else really cheap too. I forget who it was, but Mooney did well. Like there was a ton of cheap wide receivers last week. It's not there this week. Like
it's just not like it's a cliff dive off of once you get below a certain amount. So
I'm looking at ownership percentages here and like none of the wide receivers in the top like 20 are really cheap guys. Like, so there's no like one or two obvious guys. Like I'm just gonna play Denzel Mims this week. And you know, as long as he gets the volume, that's fine. He didn't do a lot, but like, it's obviously worked in the right lineup, but you're right. I'm looking at this now. There's not,
it's
maybe Marvin Jones, but he's like 5,100. He's not that cheap. There's just nobody. There's nobody under 5,000 that people, you get to like Jerry Judy's like 6% projected. That's when you get there. But you're right. There's no like obvious go-to cheap wide receivers this week.
No. So like we're going to need either cheap wide receivers or cheap running backs. You can't play expensive guys everywhere, especially because we talk about how there are no quarterbacks we want to play that we want to pay down for. So I think just constructions are going to be all over the place this week, which
that's a good point.
Yeah. Makes it a little tougher for cash games just in terms of actually building lineups. But we're just going to have a lot of paths to go down in terms of where the points are actually going to come from.
Yeah, I think it's a really fun week where there's a lot of ways you can go that you actually like. Usually we're like, oh, I'm going to go down this way, but I don't really like it. I think I'm going to end up liking my lineups, which never really works well. But there's going to be situations where I think a lot of lineups are going to look pretty fun and pretty good this week.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. We always appreciate it. As always, if you could please rate and review the podcast, we greatly appreciate that, too. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he is at RotoWireAndrew. I am at Scott Genstead. Hope everybody has a fantastic Week 9. We will be back at you next Friday with looking at the Week 10 slate. So everybody have a good week and take care.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.